I am Plot on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Inai, Filipino for Mama, is a new documentary that is having its Canadian premiere at the Vancouver International Film Festival tomorrow night. It's a moving film that looks at the impact of the live-in caregiver program that from the 1990s on has brought thousands of women from the Philippines as migrant workers rearing the children or elderly family members of Canadians, enabling them to send their earnings back home, where many of their children were left behind. After a certain period of time, these women were able to gain permanent residency and then bring their children to Canada. It's an often harrowing journey, as there are issues of abandonment as well as cultural and psychological shock once these children build a new life in a new country and try and rebuild a relationship with a missing parent. Thea Liu is the film's director, and she joins me now to talk about the film. Early in the movie, she and her husband, cinematographer Jeremiah Reyes, talk about the depression that Reyes contends with. And soon he and her friend Shirley are interviewed on camera about the intergenerational trauma and lack of belonging that they seemingly have each had to navigate through. In Jeremiah's case, addressing a lot of this might just help he and Thea adjust to their recent marriage. Both he and Shirley have to deal with secrets that they grew up with, and by the end of the film, each of them sit down with their respective mothers and talk, often frankly, always emotionally, and hopefully charting a new path. The repercussions of governmental policies and its effect on generations of Filipino Canadians is something this documentary sheds light on, and it's enlightening and enlightened in its approach. Thea Liu is a graduate of Simon Fraser University. Other than filmmaking, she's worked in other disciplines like photography, music, and theater. The film screens tomorrow, October 2nd at 7 p.m. and Friday, October 4th at 4 p.m. at International Village. Thea and Jeremiah will participate at Q&As at both screenings. We taped this interview a couple of weeks ago. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Thea Liu. Ms. Liu, good morning.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us. You know, I was going to begin by asking, you know, what the goal of the movie was for you, but I think that the more interesting question is, when did you decide that you were going to make a movie like this?
Mm-hmm. Well, in 2021, there was a California-based nonprofit organization called Art with Impact that put a call out for 5-minute short films on the topic of immigrant mental health. And so that call out really sparked in my mind a story that I've had in the back of my mind for a very long time. And so I thought, okay, well, 5 minutes is easy. It's pretty low stakes. I can like whip something together just talking to Jeremiah and to Shirley and nobody else.
Uh-huh.
And so I made that film, and that kind of really emboldened me to keep going when I realized that the 5-minute film was very impactful and people were responding to it. And there was obviously so much more to say. So that's kind of how I first started to realize that this could be a film back in 2021. And so I guess it's been like a almost 4-year journey now.
Yeah, and so you come to making this film, and it's said in the movie, about how you want to understand how somebody else suffers when mm-hmm. their mental health isn't well, and I can't help but think as I was watching that how important that is, because for a lot of people we have our misconceptions about what you know, mental health is, and you know, perhaps we can be grateful that we don't have to suffer, I guess, but mm-hmm. but we need to know what happens, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that for myself personally, I'm the type of person who's really like, you know, just power through, don't
sure.
worry about it.
Yeah.
Your feelings are pretty secondary to getting the job done. That's how I really am, and I'm able to emotionally disengage from something in order to just achieve whatever I'm trying to do. And I realized that a lot of other people are really impacted by their mental health, and it is a barrier that keeps them from being able to, you know, even, like, live their daily lives. And so I personally feel like in my life I haven't really been educated or learned much about what mental health really is, what are the signs and symptoms and experiences of people who suffer from things just as common as depression and anxiety, which is really common these days. I don't think I really learned about that as a child. I don't think I had a lot of understanding of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so growing up, then beginning to date my now husband, I realized that I was just so ill-equipped to support him and be empathetic, because of my personality, but also because I just didn't really have enough background. And I had kind of touched on issues of mental health in my high school years with other friends. But again, it was things that we would only kind of hush up and we wouldn't really talk about in the open. And so I think that instead of hushing up, I really wanted to personally learn about how I can be, you know, a better friend, a better wife, and to just make sure that my marriage was going to, you know, try to do as much as I can to make sure that my marriage is going to succeed, you know, and it definitely starts with just being able to understand what's going on with my husband and how he feels, and what his experience is like, you know, the whole idea of like trying to, you know, see through someone else's eyes.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that I just didn't really like learn a lot when I was a child. And I realized in the Filipino Canadian community, it's really not something we talk about, discuss, or really understand. And I feel like I wanted with this film to be able to present to people an avenue, a way to begin.
Yeah, because
discussing.
So we'll talk about these often raw conversations you and Jeremiah have. But you also talk to your parents in the movie about mm-hmm. Their experiences, but also your experience in terms of what wasn't said or what wasn't spoken about. Which I think is an awfully useful experience for not only for you, but for people watching the film, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that when you talk about something not being said, you mean in reference to mental health specifically and how we're feeling?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that for me it was like really amazing to learn more from my parents. And, you know, we cut all of that stuff out of the film, but it was for me a really big learning experience finding out how my own parents felt immigrating, finding out about the challenges that they've faced in their life, and having them just admit some things that I just never knew about before and were to them, I guess, actually kind of unimportant, but for me, important and, you know, healing to say out loud and to learn. And I think it gave me a better perspective on my parents, maybe a more empathetic, kind of perspective on them. I think that the things that are unsaid are often the things that we're most ashamed of or scared of or don't understand. I think that in Filipino Canadian culture or in Filipino culture, there is definitely that kind of culture of things being implicit and being understood without saying so.
Yeah.
And I personally don't understand that very well. Like I live in that culture, but at the same time, I'm from Canada. And so when I'm in the Philippines, there's a lot of things that are unsaid that people just sort of sense and understand. And I think mental health, the way that we communicate about mental health definitely falls under that umbrella. And I think that mental health is a issue that we really need to be explicit about and to really be specific about, because it's easy to say, hey, somebody's not happy today,
yeah,
you know, versus, oh no, like today they're struggling specifically with their anxiety and depression because of this and this. And this is why it's different from just having a sad day, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's really important.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I guess people of, say our generation, I'm older than you, but people of our generation whose parents have come here, mm-hmm. It's almost seen as we're being unreasonable expecting a lot of this stuff that we really need, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, their rationale, and it's a valid one at times, is that they've gone through a lot to get here.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, you know, we don't need to know a lot of that stuff. But I guess we do need to know what their experience was when they got here, right?
Yeah, I think that firstly, it's like too much to expect our parents to like not only immigrate here and thrive or try to thrive, but also to be like processing their mental health. I think that that's, you know, it's really hard to ask somebody to do all those things at once. It's actually scary, you know, and it's a lot. So I think that we are now, at least for my generation, we're now in the moment where I think there is space and time to reflect and think back, and without, you know, adding shame or creating more issues between family members, I think that it's a good time to go back, reflect, and think about, okay, well, what was my experience and how does that influence who I am now as a person, and how does that help everyone else around me better understand who I am and you know, my perspective. I think that forcing someone to talk about their mental health when they're not ready to doesn't work. And maybe it takes a really long time for our parents to be able to get there, but hopefully the film is a good way for them to sort of jog their memories even and be like, oh yeah, I did experience that too. Or that was similar to something that happened to me, but a bit different. And I'm actually ready now to explain it because of hindsight and time has passed and, you know, so I think that now is a good time, as good a time as any, right? You know, as soon as you're able to, it's always good to open up and share with others about what your experience is. And as a child, like, of my two parents who migrated, it was moving for me to hear about my parents. And I think that I'm so thankful that they were so transparent with me about certain things. And it definitely is like a newfound understanding that I have and appreciation for what they've done and who they are.
Was it difficult to get people like your parents, Jeremiah and Shirley especially, to get them to agree to make the movie, say?
I think some people it was more difficult than others. Jeremiah and Shirley, thankfully, when we made the 5-minute project, they immediately saw the importance in it, and they saw that it was impactful and meaningful. So they were on board, and I think they trusted me and on top of it really wanted to support my career, and knowing that I was very passionate about doing the project. So they were on board and very supportive from the start. But everyone else, I think we kind of had to just very slowly explain the project, talk about other people who were going to be in it, talk about how this affected me as a filmmaker, and sort of bring people on board in small steps until finally we were able to share fully with them what the vision of the movie was. And I think that once somebody understands the vision of the film, they're like on board, you know, once they realize that it's about wanting to share with the community about something that we don't talk about but really should, and realize that this film could possibly start conversations for people that really need that conversation, you know, and make change in people's lives. I think everybody wanted that. And wanted that change for themselves and their own relationships with their children or their parents.
Yeah, so specifically now, the mothers of Jeremiah and Shirley, when we first see them in the film, when they're talking to their child, these mothers are talking to their child, you know, it looks uncomfortable. They are, all of them, nervous to a certain extent. And you know, these nervous smiles are pasted on their faces, and then as they start talking, they start crying, and it's so you know, I felt almost uncomfortable watching this because I felt like I was looking into something that I you know that should be private, say, people exposing themselves as they are, and when they're talking on camera like this, is it hard for them to get to that point? Or I mean, as a director, you're sitting, I don't know if you're sitting in the room, but you're certainly part of the conversation. Was it easy for them to get to that point, say?
I think each of them were different. Like, for example, Shirley's mom, she kind of was just ready to let it all out. As you can see at the very beginning of her interview, she cries almost immediately. And I think it's because there was a lot of lead up to this. Like, she knew what we were going to do, she was prepared. There was a lot of excitement happening because a film crew had come to the middle of nowhere in Ontario and was like, you know, setting up their lights, and I think she could see that all happening, and it was a lot. I think that she definitely, well, we tried very hard to make sure that she was comfortable with me and the crew
mm-hmm.
beforehand so that she could sit there and not feel like, who are these strangers around me? And so that was really great that she was able to be open that way because she was comfortable. And frankly, the way that we shot this was that the crew always sat far, far away and usually out of line of sight of the people in the interview. So they didn't see all these other people staring at them. And then with Jeremiah and his mother, that was a bit tougher because, again, she didn't get to know the crew ahead of time, but she did get prepared, and I think she was also ready to do it. I mean, she's very, like, strong-willed and, like, determined, and when she said she's going to do it, she's going to do it, you know, and was, like, ready to give her son the truth that he needed to hear, even if it was painful. And I think that, yeah, they did such a great job, and they were so courageous and brave and transparent. And we just tried to set up an environment in which they felt safe. And I think what really impressed me a lot was that Jeremiah himself, when he interviewed his mother, was very focused on her safety and security and making sure that she was comfortable with what was being asked, and always gave her the option to not answer a question if she didn't want to. And we made sure also that the mothers never had to speak directly to myself or the other crew members if they didn't want to. Like, I didn't ask them questions directly very often. Mm. It usually came through the child that was interviewing. So I let Jeremiah and Shirley lead their own interviews with their parents, because that's a conversation that they need to have, and it really doesn't need to come from me, even though I'm kind of steering the ship a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I could tell you what my reaction was as watching the film. You know, I was certainly quite moved by what I saw in it. What is it like for you when you're in the process of making the film? You're behind the camera watching all of this unfold in real time and in the room, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, it was very emotional. Sometimes I was elated because I was getting, or the thing occurring in front of the camera was exactly what I was hoping we would get.
Mm.
So I'd be like really cheering from silently in the background, or sometimes I was just bawling my eyes out behind the camera because it was so moving and honest and beautiful. So I think, you know, and not just me, but a lot of the crew would be in these interviews just crying in the background because it's very emotional to hear. And we made sure that the crew that came were people that could relate to the story and were people that we felt safe with and safe with hearing our stories. So they were people that are our friends and who deeply care about us as people. So that was like another part that really helped. And sometimes I was really frustrated. And there's a scene in the film where I definitely get frustrated, and we wanted it to be very clear that I am there and I am overhearing all these things, and I'm not necessarily always getting what I want. And that's just because when we go out, you know, and we're documenting something, we always talk about, okay, like, why are we filming? What are we trying to do today? What's the point? What's the point of this scene? And so when we're not, like, hitting those marks that I'm hoping to get, then I feel frustrated. And in that scene, which I'm, like, I'm embarrassed by because I'm so upset in it, you know, it's like it was, like, negative 10 degrees or more on that day, and we were freezing our butts off trying to get to the heart of a conversation and not really getting there, I think. And so sometimes it's frustrating, sometimes it's amazing, sometimes it's devastating and you're crying, and sometimes it's just beautiful. So it was really a roller coaster of emotions filming this, and which I think definitely translates in the film. Like, you can really feel as the audience. I think that my perspective is really coming through, and the experience of the audience is probably very similar to how I felt filming
it. Yeah, it was in many places in the movie. In terms of just a technical thing, I'm curious to know what your process is when it comes to where and when you film somebody. Like, you know, you have some conversations with Shirley, for example, in your apartment, in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Does the interview subject have a say as to where they'll sit? Say, I mean, just in terms of like. Where the camera is, or do you prescribe that right away when you say schedule the filming?
It's a mixture. I think all of the interviews were set up very specifically in a location that we hoped the interviewee would be comfortable. So, you know, when we did interviews with my parents. We did it in their home. When we did an interview with Shirley's mother, we couldn't film in her home, but we made sure that it was in her hometown. Mm. It was in on her turf. And for example, with Shirley, there's a scene where her and I are having a conversation late at night, and she's sitting on my couch, and that's just where she happened to plop herself down when she came over. And so we were just like, oh, well, you sit there, and I'll sit here where I was sitting across from her on the couch, and Jeremiah just set the camera up. So sometimes it's very naturalistic that way, and sometimes we really try and get people to stand in a certain way that makes sense for the visuals. So it's a mixture. But I think that in the end, we always try to shoot locations and in ways that made people comfortable with the space. And that's why I think the film shows my home so much, because this is a space where Jeremiah is safe. This is where we live. This is real life happening in our home.
You know, thinking back to the conversations you and Jeremiah have in your home, it still shocks us when we hear somebody, even in the movie, talk about ending their life. In a way, hearing that, though, makes it clearer for those of us watching, just how much one is suffering. I guess you are helping us talk about suicide in a way that I don't think a lot of us have thought about.
Yeah, and I think that when someone says, you know, they're sad, it's the tip of the iceberg, you know? Yeah. Like, that's just one word, you know? And I don't know if there's a word in Tagalog to translate depression to, or if we just use the word depression in English. But I feel as if in my home, like, we've become very comfortable with talking about this subject because we need to be comfortable with it. We can't just shy around and tiptoe and not really say what we mean. And it is really shocking in the film when he discusses this, and also to Shirley. But it really helps, I think, specifically our parents understand what we mean when we talk about depression. It's not always about suicide, you know?
Yeah.
But I think it really helps them understand the depth at which this can go and has gone. And if we're not doing our best to understand and maintain our mental health, then it can go in ways that we really, really don't want to go. And I think it's not meant to scare people. It's just meant to be transparent.
Yeah, and I can't help but think that you know, someone will watch this movie, and they'll be able to watch it on television, you know, in the next year, in 2025. It'll give them, I don't know, words of their own to use, a language to use to say, to talk about these things that they're obviously feeling, that they need to get out.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I hope that after people watch this movie, they feel empowered to have a conversation with whoever it is in their life that they need to have a discussion with about their mental health or about their relationship, which might be strained. And hopefully they kind of have the tools to be able to discuss their mental health in a way that is empowering and healthy, rather than just confusing or not really clear. I think it's easy, again, for things to be implicit or implied and to not really, like, make sure that everyone has total clarity about what we're talking about.
Do you think that the conversations that were had on camera would have been different if they were off camera? I mean, I can't help but think that in a couple of situations, especially with the mothers themselves, of Jeremiah and Shirley, that... I don't know. I kept thinking that on camera they were probably, it was probably easier for them to say certain things on camera than, say, off.
Yeah, I honestly think that I'm not sure if these conversations would have happened if they didn't happen on camera. Mm. If there wasn't, like, a film crew coming and this very serious discussion about how we're going to have this conversation and discussions about safety and vulnerability and ways to make sure that everyone is comfortable with what's happening. I think that if this were to sort of happen in a more casual way, then I think the conversations may very easily veer off into places that are not really helpful or kind of steer us away from maybe our real goal, because these conversations could go on forever, right? There's just so much to talk about. Yeah. But I think that with everybody knowing what the goal of the interview was and everybody having understanding of what the set questions or generally what we were going to discuss, it really helped people stay focused and, like, answer the question as best as they could and say it in a way that, you know, there's this idea of when the camera's on, you're on your best behavior. But I think it's actually really helpful because it means that the people on camera being interviewed are saying things as carefully as they possibly can, yeah, in a way that isn't hurtful to anybody, in a way that's clear and fair. Whereas sometimes I think if we have these conversations more casually, we might just say things more flippantly,
sure,
or say things more, again, with more of an implication of something and not saying it in a way that works for the camera, because the camera really is going to get everything, and you really need to make yourself clear, or else people may be confused by what you meant, right? So I think that the documentary process was so helpful in getting them to finally discuss these things in a very, very direct, specific, safe, and proper way, in which people were, you know, trying their best to communicate effectively rather than allow it to just fall apart into blame or anger or side tangents that aren't super related.
Yeah, do you think that's a cultural thing, though? I mean, you know, speaking as somebody who's got Filipino parents, I tend to wonder if the camera being there is perhaps a cultural thing. Because, I mean, I know people of other cultural backgrounds will get something out of this film, but I don't know if they would have people of other cultural backgrounds would have made for, say, interview subjects that would have been, say, as effective.
Yeah, I mean, I think that everyone reacts differently to the camera. And I think it also depends on the approach, of course, of the filmmaker and
right,
making sure that everybody there understands why we are there and is on board with the vision. And I think, you know, different cultures, different peoples are going to react differently to and perform maybe differently in front of the camera. But at least in our case, I feel as if everybody was trying their best to be honest. And that brought out, obviously, these incredible interviews in which so much is learned, I think, about the characters in the film, but also about ourselves. I think when I watch the interviews, I have memories of conversations in my own life, and I go, oh my gosh, like, I can relate to this, and this actually is helping me more easily understand something that I've experienced or a conversation that I've had in the past.
What have people who appear in the film, what have they thought of seeing themselves in the movie? I mean, I'm assuming that everybody who's in it has already seen it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so everyone saw it, and they were given, if not a rough cut, at least a very early cut of the film in order to approve it. I obviously wasn't going to add anything in that somebody didn't like,
sure,
or thought was untrue or you know, thought they were misrepresented. So this has been totally cleared by everybody. I think, I'm not sure how the mothers feel about it per se, but I know that Jeremiah finds it hard to see himself on screen, especially when in the more vulnerable moments.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Shirley has said multiple times to me that she doesn't even really feel like that person anymore, and she feels like she's really changed a lot since the film, because it was
in,
you know,
a good way,
over
say?
Yeah, I think so. Or yeah, just generally is different. I think she's grown and is older, and we did shoot the film over a year ago, so her life has changed dramatically. She's moved and all these things. So I think there's definitely the uncomfortability of seeing yourself on screen, but there's also the part where this happened over a year ago, and so they've changed a lot, and the film, I think, changed their relationships with their mothers a lot too. And then for me, being on the screen, I don't like seeing myself on the screen, but I knew that I had to do this in order to, I couldn't really remove myself from being a character in the film, because I feel like a lot of the impetus for the making of the film is my own personal motivation, and so I had to sort of be in the film.
The desire of both parents and their children to want to be friends as they get older, I mean, that comes through in the film, and I think that's an important adaptation to the relationship of parent and child. I mean, I think it does show great growth, doesn't it? And I think that's that's what everybody wants, regardless of whatever cultural background you have. That's a way to get older, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that at least for these specific people in the film, if you were robbed of the opportunity to create that really important mother-child bond when you were a child, you know, they say that, you know, the first 5 years or so of a child's life are super important. And to be away from your child when they were toddlers and then into their early childhood, I think that they basically weren't able to create the mother-child bonds that other people kind of get to have because of being present. And so in the absence of this, I think it's really beautiful that the pivot is, okay, well, we don't necessarily have the bonds that we wanted to have and we were robbed of that opportunity, but what we can do is like accept that we are family and we love each other and that we want to make it work in a new way, in an adult way now, and in that way being friendship, which I think is fantastic. And that didn't come from me at all. That came from Jeremiah, who, you know, said that to his mother. And I didn't know that that's where he was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment it did happen on screen, we immediately knew that it was super important. And it was very beautiful that he was using a word from his native tongue. And also from Shirley's native tongue as well. They have the same language. So I think that it definitely is a really good call to action, I think, for people who watch the film, that, you know, there is the possibility of being reconciled to each other. And in this case, like, friendship, I think, is what they're looking for. And I think that's a really good way to go.
Are you working on another film now?
Yeah, I'm working on a couple projects. One actually is sort of an aside to my feature film, Anai.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually about the Philippine Women's Center. And one of my characters in the film is Charlene Sayo. We interview her and she tells us about the history of Philippine-Canadian caregivers. And then she also talks a bit about the history of the political things happening in the Philippines in the 70s.
Yeah.
And so we're actually making a short film that expands upon the political situation and more about what was happening, the Philippine Women's Center and the work that was being done to support Filipino Canadians in the 90s and early 2000s. So it is actually kind of related to Anai. We've shot that film now and we're going to begin editing soon. And then the other film that I'm working on is called Tears Burn to Ash. It's a short film that we'll be shooting in Japan this December, and it's not a documentary, it's a narrative, which I'm very excited about.
Well, I've become a very big fan of your work, and I can't wait for your whatever you've got coming up next. This film is a beautiful film. It's an important one. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time today. Thanks for this, and continued luck with everything else.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Visit viff.org for tickets and information. The film screens tomorrow at 7 p.m. and Friday, October 4th at 4 p.m. at the International Village. The film is called Inai, Mama, and it's director Thea Liu joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.